towards the end of Parshas Vayetze, we have the pasuk that Avraham Avinu was inside the Ohel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Ayotze Osa Achutza, and he tells him, Svarach Chachobim Metuch Alispa Ko Yezar Echa, the Rebbe Shlom gave a bracha, that Avraham Avinu should have a lot of grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So because of that pasuk, it's a very old minik, that when a person gets married, he should get married outside, tachas kippah sarekia, under the stars, to invoke that blessing. We want to have the bracha of having a lot of children. And some Mefarshim interpret that the Yerushalmi already had that minik. There's a problematic Yerushalmi that Tosis in the first Perek in Yuma talks about. So some of the Achrayim interpret that it's based on this minik that already existed in the days of the Talmud Yerushalmi. The minig is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, when the Rabbanim go to the Badek and they give a bracha to the Kala, Achoseinu Atayili Alfei Revova, they give the Kala bracha, she should have a lot of children. Today, a lot of people don't want to have a lot of children. The Gemara says, based on the Pasuk, and Koheles, Babekas, Razarecha, Valera, Vatanach Yodecho, that even though one would, strictly speaking, would be in fulfillment of the mitzvah period of Ivy if he has just a son and a daughter, but nonetheless, he should try to have more than the basic fulfillment of peri review. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva had so many students, thousands of students. And then they all died, and then he had to start all over again. Based on this pasuk, and the pasuk continues, because you'll never know which will be the better children, which will be the better tefuah, which will be the better talmidim. So everyone who gets married should try to have a lot of children. The Achrenim write that it's a beautiful minig to get married tachas kippah sarekia, but one should be careful not to make a chilul Hashem. What exactly is the chilul Hashem? So I remember once I attended a wedding, many, many, many years ago, maybe 50 years ago, I remember I attended a wedding in Williamsburg, and it was snowing, and they insisted on having the chuppah outside, and the chuppah was dyed purple, and the snow was falling on top of the purple, and the purple dye was dripping on the Kala's white dress. And the goyim were hanging out the windows and laughing at the people. These crazy Jews, they get married outside when it's snowing, when it's raining. So that's probably what it means. You should try to get married, tachas kippah sarekia, but you should be careful not to make chilul Hashem. The last few years I attended a few weddings where at the end of the ceremony, the chosen kissed the Kala under the chuppah. This is not the Jewish tradition. I remember many years ago I attended a wedding and I was sitting next to Rabbi Pinchas Stolper, who used to run the whole NCSY, and he was sitting next to a Nochri, and at the end of the wedding, the chosen didn't kiss the Kala. So the goy says, "What's going on? The groom didn't kiss the bride." So Rabbi Stolper explained to him, not only didn't he kiss the bride when they were dating, all the weeks that they were dating, he never touched the girl. "What do you mean you never touch a girl? What kind of dating is that?" So he told him, "I wrote a whole book about it. I'll send you a copy of the book." We don't kiss the Kala under the chuppah. That's not the Jewish way. That's how they do in the movies. That's how the Nochrim do. But that's not the Jewish practice. And in Europe, the Rabbanim used to say, if you kiss the Kala under the chuppah, le'enik, all you saw in front of everybody is the end of the Torah. The last few words in Chumash Devarim is le'enik, all you saw. So if you kiss the girl, Leini Kol Yisrael, that's the end of the Torah. It's not a proper practice. Recently, people were talking to me about double ring ceremonies. That's a goyish thing. What kind of double ring ceremony? That's terrible. We have halachas that make kiddushin. If the Kala wants to give the chosen something in the yichud room, but not under the chuppah, you don't make it, pick it up from the nochrim. There's a very old minig that the chosen says divrei Torah right before the chuppah, and in Shivus HaMe'amishta it's a chiyuv to give the chosen an aliyah, and the proper practice should be that the chosen who learns in yeshiva should say divrei Torah by all of the sheva brachas. What is this all about? So Rav Soloveitchik explained that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yontif that there's a mitzvah of Simcha Yontif. So what does it mean, Simcha, to eat and drink and be merry? So the Rambam says that's Simcha Sakeris. Your belly will be happy. Real Simcha is to be Mesamech HaSoacherim, to be Mesamech HaSoumlolim, to cheer up those who are less fortunate than you. as the pasuk says in connection with Parshas Re'eh, in connection with Simchas Yontov V'Samachta, Ata Valebi Vageh Vayasma Amana Shebikir Becha, you have to give tzedakah to the Yanim. And that's why there's an old minhag to make an appeal for tzedakah, not an appeal for yeshivas, not an appeal for hospitals. Make an appeal for aniyim, on Yontov. Agav, you're making an appeal, so then immediately you say yisker. But the main part of the yisker is the pledging to give money to aniyim, because that's a form of simchas yontov, to be misameach others. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that we have a din during Shiva, and during Tisha B'Av has a din like Shiva. One is not permitted to learn. Gemara says, why? Because Bikudi Hashem Mishorim Misamchei Lev, it brings simcha. So how can one be misameach acherim? So you teach them Torah. The Chosin says, Divrei Torah. Why do you give him an aliyah? Because strictly speaking, Bisman HaGemara, the one who got an aliyah, would lay in the psukim, so he would be melamed Torah la'acherim. We have a practice, apparently dates back to the days of the Gaon, and we have an institution of a balkorei, because we're afraid half the people will kill the whole aliyah. They don't know how to pronounce the words, they won't know the trup, they won't know the yivra. So Kadesh Alo Levayesh, it's Misha'ini Yodeya. In the days of the Goyim, apparently they introduced the practice that you have a bakori lanes for everybody. But many of the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch assume that Al Pidin, the bakori is mitzi the Ola Lator, which Shemeka, and it is considered as if the Ola Lator is Malami Torah Lachirim. The one who gets Dali, even though he doesn't read out loud the Psukim, but with Shemeka, and it's considered as if he's teaching the Torah to the others. So that's why it says that there's an Inyan to get an Aliyah on Yontif. Because on Yontov there's a chi of simcha, and you want to be mesameach acherim, not just to eat and drink and be merry, simcha sakeres, you want to be mesameach acherim. So one way to be mesameach acherim is by giving tzedakah to aniyim, and another way is by getting an aliyah, a saying divrei Torah. If someone is scheduled to give a shiur on Yontov, they don't have to give him an aliyah. He's going to make melamed Torah acherim anyway. But the others who are not scheduled to give a shiur, so they auction off the aliyahs, and it's considered a schus to be able to get an aliyah on Yontov. That's a form of simcha v'sameach acher. So if a boy learns in the yeshiva, he should prepare. Doesn't have to be an original shtickel Torah. Doesn't have to answer Rebbe Kivegish kashas. Say over advat Torah from the Gemara, from the Shulchan Aruch, something. Halacha, God or whatever, say over advat Torah by the Chosin's Tish. The minhag used to be that the Shabbos before in Europe, every community had an Erev, so the Shabbos, before the Shabbos of the Yoifruf, the Chosin would say Divrei Torah, and the people would give him a Drosha Geshank. They would give him a Matana on Shabbos. Rabbi Kivega discussed, what about Mecca HaMemkar? How are you allowed to do that? So he says, this is considered Mokam Nitzvah, this is considered Simchas Chosin. But the reason why the Chosin said Divrei Torah is because he's soon going to be a Chosin. When he gets married, and there's an Indian of Simcha, to me, Mesameach Acherim, is to say Divrei Torah. It is not the universal minig to be mapsik the chosin. Some have a minig dafka to be mapsik and not to let the chosin finish his Divrei Torah. If you know the chosin didn't prepare the whole Dvar Torah, so it's a mitzvah to be mapsik, okay? Don't let him be embarrassed. But if you think he prepared something reasonably good, so more correct is to let him finish it. He shouldn't talk for an hour. Talk for 10 minutes and shine. Say Divrei Torah. I remember Rabbi Gifta used to scream, and there would be Mapsik the Chos, and he would scream, Proim, Proim, wild Indians, what are they Mapsik for? Rav Soloveitchik was more calm, he didn't scream, but when they would be Mapsik the Chos, and he would ask the Chos, and tell me the rest of what you wanted to say. What's wrong? Let the Chos say the Divrei Torah. With respect to davening, it's not really proper that people daven so quickly. They wouldn't talk to a boss of Adam so quickly. In Shulchan Aruch it says, "Tov mi'at b'kavana mehar b'shaloi b'kavana." It's better to say less and to know what you're saying rather than to say a lot and not to know what you're saying. Davening is a very serious issue. The Gemara in Brachas quotes the pasuk "Kirum zulus livnei Adam." It's a difficult, difficult pasuk in Tehillim. So the Gemara comments on the pasuk, "The tefillos from the Devarim ha'omdim b'rum ha'shaloilim b'nei Adam mezalzalim b'hem." The Rabbanu Shalom established the world from day number one. He wanted human beings to daven. We don't understand why, but that's what he wanted. He wanted people to daven. And even though they deserve, if they don't deserve something, it's not going to help if they daven. If they deserve it, still the Rabbanu Shalom wants that people should daven for that. I remember there used to be a Chassidish Rebbe, the Falter Chana, Rabbi Stein. So he was once telling us that he used to spend summers in Tannersville. So he used to talk a lot. So he said when he established his shtibel in Bensonhurst, so he told the Balabatim, I'll go along with whatever time you want to daven shachris on Shabbos morning. You want to daven at 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10 o'clock. Whatever you want to daven is okay. But one condition, everybody has to come on time. Whatever this man tefillahs, you have to come on time. Person comes late to the davening, so he shows that it's a joke. He shows that he doesn't consider the davening significant. In fact, it's not enough to come on time. On the weekdays, you have to put on your tefillin. Or so you have to put on talis and tons. You have to come a few minutes before. We have a din in the Gemara. You have to, everyone is obligated to recite Mea Brochas B'chol Yom. Some Rishonim even hold that this is a din deraisa. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't hold like this, but there were many poskim before the Mishnah Berurah who were of the opinion, and by the Chassidim, this is the practice, that a person says Birchas HaShachar, then the Chazan says Birchas HaShachar. So you answer Amen on the 15 brachas of the Chazan, so you have Shemei Koina, so you have another 15 brachas. Then the next person gets up and he says the 15 Birchas HaShachar, you have another 15 brachas. If he answers, the person should really come to shul early enough that he should say the 15 Birchas HaShachar. Then he should be able to hear the chazan or his next door neighbor, hear the other people say the brachas. And this, according to many poskim, this will also count as for mayor brachas. The poskim all say it's not proper for a person to look on a sefer during chazaras hashat. He's supposed to pay attention to the chazaras hashat. Same thing for the Morgan Ovis on Friday night. Morgan Ovis is chazaras hashat. The chachamim made a takana. What motivated him to make the takana was that there are people who didn't know how to daven. There was an Eni Odeya, L'Hotzis Misheni Odeya, the Ein of the Kiyim. But once they made the Takana, so it's a Takana for everybody, even the people who daven, the Tefillah Balach, also have to pay attention and listen to every word of the Chazaras Hashatz. It's highly improper to look in a sefer during Chazaras Hashatz. Talmidei Yeshiva have to realize they have a responsibility. They're the ambassadors of the Torah. When you daven by the Balabatim are looking at you. You look in a sefer during Chazaras Hashatz. You make a joke out of the whole davening. The Balabatim lose the whole respect for the Talmidim, lose respect for the whole Torah, for the whole Davening. The last couple of years also developed a new minig that the yeshiva guys drink a lot, schnapps at the weddings. Never was. And yeshiva guys started to drink at Kiddushim and Shul also, schnapps. Terrible. Terrible practice. The Din of Shulchan Aruch, the Din of Gemara said, if you don't have wine available, then you can say Kiddush on Hamar Medina. So it's a question whether schnapps is chamar medina. They quote from Rav Chaim Volozhiner that schnapps is a meichel, and the first step in order to be chamar medina has to be a beverage. He said a soup. It's like saying kiddush on a bowl of soup. A bowl of soup is not a beverage. A bowl of soup is a liquid food. It's a meichel. So he held bechlal schnapps is no good. But even if it would be good, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a whole tshuva. What qualifies as chamar medina? But then he writes in the last paragraph, but what continent? Where in the world do you live? Whenever wine is available, so you're not allowed to use Chamar Medina for Kiddush. If you ran out of wine, knock on the next door neighbor's door, the next door neighbor has wine. Why should anybody be saying Kiddush over schnapps? It's ridiculous. And if you said Kiddush over wine, there's no need to have any schnapps. It's a terrible practice. We should do away with it. The Gemara tells us that there's an Inyan of Tosefes Shabbos. There's a problematic Rambam. The Rambam only quotes the Din of Tosefes Yom Kippurim. But the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam is against the Gemara. Gemara Rosh Hashanah the Aptes says that there is a din of Tosefes Shabbos and Yontif and Yom Kippur and Shnas HaShemitah. The whole year has Kedushas Man, and there's a din of Tosefes whenever there's a Kedushas Man. Tosefes points out in Beitzah Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, it would appear from the Gemara that you can't just be Moshe Mechoil Al HaKadosh a half a minute. There's a minimum amount of time how much you have to be Moshe Mechoil Al HaKadosh, but Tosefes is not sure how many minutes it is. They're not sure. So the Achrayim quote that the Rabbeinu Peretz on that daf, now we have the Rabbeinu Peretz is printed. You don't need the Achrayim. But before it was printed, the Achrayim quoted the Rabbeinu Peretz. One of the Balei HaTosfos says that he thinks that it's 30 minutes before the Shkia. If you want to be Moshe Mechoil Al HaKodesh 30 minutes before the Shkia on Shabbos and Yontov, then you have to daven Mincha before, because Ashkenazim have the practice that once you're Mekabel Shabbos, you're not allowed to daven Tfilas Chol. Svardim, Chacham Avadi writes that by the Svardim they have the practice only if the Tzibur was Mekabel Shabbos. But if the Yochid was Mekabel Shabbos, he's still permitted to daven Tfilas Chol. But Ashkenazim have the practice that once the Yochid is Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos, he's not allowed to daven Mincha. So if you want to be Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos 30 minutes before the Shkia, you have to daven Mincha way before that. So in many yeshivas, they daven Mincha early. They daven 1:30, 2:30, whatever. It's not a bad idea. Rav Soloveitchik said where he came from in Europe, the minig was that the women would bench licht on Erev Shabbos Erev Yom 30 minutes before the Shkia, and on Erev Yom Kippur they would bench licht 60 minutes before the Shkia. So as a child he asked, why is it different? Why is Yom Kippur 60 minutes instead of 30 minutes? So the official answer that they gave him was 30 minutes for Malocha, Tosefes Malocha, and 30 minutes for Inuyim. So he didn't understand, what do you mean? 30 minutes for this, 30 minutes for that. It's the same Kedushas Hayayim. That's Mechai ben Inuyim and Malochi. He didn't understand. But there was a practice on Erev Yom Kippur to be Moisef 60 minutes before the Shkia. And every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, they were Moisef 30 minutes before. So we should try to do either that or something similar to that. Zedinyan HaTosefes Shabbos. And Shulchan Aruch it says, Rav Soloveitchik had a whole pilpul, he thinks that the Rambam may not agree, but the Shulchan Aruch paskens like a Tosfos, when you come home on Friday night, you're supposed to recite Kiddush right away, because when you recite Kiddush, you're Mekadosh the whole day of Shabbos, so why should you only be Mekadosh 23 and a half hours? Be Mekadosh all the 24 hours. Come home right away from Shul, don't dilly-dally, and say Kiddush at the earliest available opportunity. Once you say Kiddush, miyad, then you have to wash miyad, because it then requires kiddush b'makom suda. Kiddush b'makom suda is not sufficient that you're going to eat the meal in the same location where you recite the kiddush. It has to be soon after. It has to be soon after. I remember when I learned in Lakewood, so there were around 100 people and there was only one sink to wash. So they made kiddush, and then some of the boys sat down, they were learning Mishnah Brura till they had their turn. You had no choice. You have to stand on line and talk Lashon Hara. So you might as well sit there, Mavisedra, learn Mishnah Brura, do something. But if you have more than one sink, so you're not supposed to waste time between the Kiddush and Hamas. You have to wash right away. That's called Kiddush Mokmasud. It means immediately. Immediately after. A few words about learning Torah. The Baal HaTanya wrote a Shulchan Aruch HaRav. And most of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is like a Chayodim, like a Chochmasodim. He gives you b'kitzur what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and he gives a hachro and the shach and the taz and the magen ram, whatever, except for Hilchas Tamat Torah. Hilchas Tamat Torah, he rewrote the whole thing, mechadosh, and he has very fascinating ideas. So one of the ideas that he points out is that we all have, Rav Chaim Volozhin has the same, and Nefesh HaChaim, he has one section about Liman HaTorah. They both say each Jewish man has an obligation to learn Kol HaTorah Kulo. How is that humanly possible? The Gemara in Erevin quotes the Pasuk, Arucha me'eretz mi, d'rachovim min hayam. The Torah is so vast, it's impossible to learn to know everything. So the Baal HaTanya says, Arucha me'eretz mi, d'rachovim min hayam, goes on the omek habonas haTorah, the depth of understanding. That's Arucha me'eretz mi. But what is the text of the Torah? There is a text, and he gives you the whole list. You can put all the svarim in one bookcase, less than one bookcase. The 24 svarim of the Tanakh. Believe it or not, that's also Talmud Torah. Sometimes boys in yeshiva think that only learning Gemara, only learning Gemara with Rav Baruch Be'er, Rav Shem Mishkop, and Rav Chaim, and everything. To learn Mishnah is also Torah. To learn Tanakh is also Liman HaTorah. We have an obligation to be Mabesed every week, Shnai Mikra Becha Targum. When the children were young, they never did it. But now they're not young anymore. Everybody's bar mitzvah already. So we all have to be Mabes Sedra every week. And there's nothing wrong with learning Mishnayis. And we have to learn Kol HaTorah Kulo. So he said, what constitutes Kol HaTorah Kulo? So he says, 24 Svarim of Tanakh, the Mishnayis, the Tosefdis, Talmud Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sefer Sefrei Mechilta, Rambam, and Shulchan Aruch. And if you think about it, it's not really so much. I was told when you go to law school, you have to read more books than that. We have to try to learn Kol HaTorah Kulo. If you're going to crawl, you've got to learn only three blot a year. So as Rav Moshe Weiss says, that's a prescription for Amaratzis. You never learn Kol HaTorah Kulo. You have to try to cover. In Baltimore Yeshiva, in Israel, they used to have a practice under Rabbi Ruderman. Whatever Masechta you learned in the winter, you got to finish in the summer. You have to make a siyum. Whatever you're learning in the winter, you try to finish in the summer. It's quoted in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that he told his children that they shouldn't dare say a svara in learning before they have gone through all of Shas with Rashi. Because every discipline has its own self-contained style of logic. And if you're going to say a svara before you know what the style of Talmudic logic is, you're just going to be pushing a new style of logic on the Gemara. The Gemara has its own style of logic. So you have to go through a lot of Gemaras. That's what they quote, that he said, before you finish Kol HaShas with Pirush Rashi, they shouldn't dare to say any svaras, original svaras. I'll just close. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, on the Marad the Torah Harbei, a person shouldn't let his success in learning go to his head. One should not become a balgaiva because of the fact that he's succeeding in learning. That's why the Ribbono Shel Olam created us. The pasuk says Adam lo omal yulot, and the Gemara says omal means amal peh, goes on limud haTorah. Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful essay in one of the printed volumes where he has all the essays. He has an essay about when a Talmid Chacham learns Torah, if he discovers some new insight, he's getting to understand more about the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, everybody melts into insignificance. If a person really learns and he knows that Liman HaTorah brings him closer to Ribbono Shel Olam, if he believes in that, that the Torah is a description of Elokus, he's understanding better what Elokus is all about. So how can he have any arrogance? Rav Soloveitchik used to be arrogant. He had Gaiba the Kedusha. He said, if the Gemara has a discussion, so it means that we can figure out what it said. So he was insisting we can figure out. But then as soon as he figured out what was going on, so then he stepped back. He's in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He can't be a Baal Gaiba in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if you keep that in mind, a person who's a real Talmid Chacham cannot be a Baal Gaiba. Thank you.